But I'd like to continue on a series that we began back in November. Last couple of weeks, last week we had Steve Dunn here, missionary to Germany. I'm very blessed by his ministry last week. What a great, great message. And also Thanksgiving Sunday. But we titled the message, The Four Prophets, or Four Kinds of Prophet. And it was subtitled, Prophetic Ministry at This Time. And the reason we are taking time to talk about this, or we felt it was important to talk about prophetic ministry, is that Jesus promised, and as well as the Holy Spirit, that the closer we get to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know we're getting into Christmas, and some churches are probably already shifting gears into Christmas messages, which I've done in years past. And I appreciate Christmas. I think the Christmas message and the Christmas story, it is a critical story or a critical event that we need to understand and get a hold of, in that Jesus Christ was not only born, he was born of a virgin. He was the sinless Son of God. And that's very, very critical as it relates to, you know, our atonement or forgiveness of sins and eternal life if we put our faith in Christ and Christ alone for our salvation. Oops. But it's also important for us that we remember that Jesus is coming back. Of course, one of the things we keep mindful of and remember, you know, Tom and Linda Martin and their family. Linda is not doing very well, and I don't think doctors give her very much time. And so we're praying for God's will in her life, but it's tough on the family, and so remember them. Whether it's through the rapture or whether it's just through age, we're going to meet Christ. But one of the things that we should be expecting, especially in this day and age, I'm not going to take time to talk about it today because we've talked about it previously. There are a lot of signs that point to the soon return of Jesus. It's not a matter of time just going to keep going on like it has been and nothing is going to change. There's a big change coming. And that big change is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh to this earth. And the Bible teaches us that when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to set up his kingdom. But he's not just going to come suddenly where it's not expected. Now, I know no man knows the day or the hour. Not even Jesus. I don't quite understand that, but Jesus himself said that. He knows all things, but he's chosen not to know when he's going to return. Only the Father knows that. But we will and should know the times and the seasons, and there are many different signs that will precede the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the spiritually important signs, not only to say, yes, Jesus is coming, but so that we can be both blessed but protected, is to understand that the closer we get to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more prophetic ministry there will be on the earth. And there are two scriptures that we have as far as the text that talk about that. The first is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. This is an Old Testament prophecy that Peter shared in his first sermon at the birth of the church, regarding the second coming of Christ. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So with this spirit, you know, we're Pentecostal people, so we believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we expect before Jesus Christ returns is a great worldwide revival, because the Bible says God's Holy Spirit is going to fall upon all flesh. Will all people come to Jesus? No. Just like at the day of Pentecost, many people will accept Jesus. Other people will reject Jesus. But everyone will be given the opportunity. The Holy Spirit will be moving powerfully. Upon those who don't know Christ, there'll be a strong conviction of not only one's sins, that we need a Savior, but who the Savior is, and that's Jesus. We put our faith in Him, we can be forgiven and receive the gift of eternal life. But upon those who know Christ, there'll be a mighty anointing or a mighty empowerment. Sometimes we use the word anointing, and that's just the power of God descending upon us or coming upon us, enabling us to do things for His kingdom. And one of the things that we're going to see in the church is the increase of the ministry of prophecy or the ministry of the prophet. And we talked about what that is, and literally what a prophet is a man or a woman. And notice how this isn't just one gender. The Bible talks about men and women not only receiving the Holy Spirit, but ministering in the gifts of prophecy. Men and women being used as prophet, you know, sharing prophecies, but I believe God also raising up prophets and prophetesses at this time, speaking or bringing forth the Word of God. We talked about some other things that prophets do as far as receive dreams and visions to share with individuals and some other things that they do. But Jesus also cautions the church regarding prophetic ministry at the end. Not all of it will be good. The enemy, he's not happy now. He's not happy that you and I are here worshiping Jesus, studying the Word of God, praying for one another. And as the end approaches, and the end is not only the return of Christ, but the end of the influence of Satan on the world, and how many can say amen to that? I was going to do a little dance, but I won't do that for you this morning. He'll not stand idly by, but He will try to frustrate the good work of the Holy Spirit in the world, including the work of the prophet and prophetic ministry, by using one of His very effective tools, the tool of counterfeit. Reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, this is the second part of our text, verses 21 through 25. Jesus, in talking about these things that will precede His second coming, says this: there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. So right along with increased messages from God, from godly men and women, timely messages, powerful messages, there'll be deceptive messages from evil people who are empowered by Satan himself. You know, the Bible talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 4 how in the latter days there'll be doctrines of demons unleashed upon the world. And I think, you know, they've already been here, just intensified. So what we've been talking about in these series of messages is basically three things. Number one, to expect, as we approach the second coming of Christ, an increase in prophetic ministry, but also to expect an increase in deception from spiritual forces that are in the world that are working to frustrate the work of Christ. And the need for you and I who profess Jesus Christ as Lord to be increasingly discerning. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your presence and Your power in this place. We thank You for the Word of God, and we thank You, Lord, that You have given us the ability to not only read, the freedom to read the Word of God, but the ability through Your Holy Spirit to understand the Word. As we seek to understand Your Word this morning, we pray once again for the anointing or the empowerment of Your Holy Spirit to be upon this, Your speaker today. May You open up our ears to the truth of the Word of God, and may we all grow in faith especially in the times that we're living in, and we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Some of the things that we've talked about prior to this, number one, we talked about what a prophet is, and we mentioned he's someone who declares or brings forth God's message or God's word. We talked about the need for prophecy, and I dare say, I'm not going to re-preach the message. It's on the website. It's on iTunes if you want to read it, or we can make you a CD. But I believe we're kind of in a famine of prophetic ministry. Not that we don't have much by way of prophecy, but I think genuine prophecy is very rare. I believe there are people who are prophesying false things. Either they're motivated by the enemy or just by their own, by their self or their own reasons or purposes, or there's just a lot out there that is so general it doesn't really mean anything. And again, I'm not despising prophecy. It's just, and we talked about why we feel that way, why I feel that way. We talked about how prophecy is not something we should be afraid of, but is something that we should search for in our worship as a church and in the ministry of the gospel. And the difference between false prophecies and failed prophecies, and for those of you who weren't here, a false prophecy is a prophecy that doesn't line up with the Word of God. In fact, we'll talk a little bit more about that today. But a failed prophecy is actually a true prophecy that doesn't come to pass, not because it was wrong, but because situations have changed. And we shared one example, and I think it's very, very important just to remind ourselves of this. One example from the book of Jonah, how God gave Jonah a message that God was going to judge the city of Nineveh in 40 days. And when the Nineveh, and that was a sure prophecy from God. God not only gave that message to Jonah once, he gave it to him twice because he wasn't obedient the first time. And Jonah shared that message, but the Ninevites did an interesting thing. They repented of their sins. They fasted. They put on sackcloth, a very uncomfortable clothing. They didn't eat or drink for 3 days, including children and animals. Can you imagine how crazy that must have been? And the Bible says God repented, or God decided not to judge them, but to give them grace. It was a true prophecy, but it was a, you know, New Testament, 1 Corinthians 13 says prophecies may fail. It was a prophecy that failed for a good reason. So we talked about distinguishing between the two. But this morning, I want to take some time and talk about how we actually test prophets and prophecies. Because when God moves, and I don't care who it is, including me or an elder in this church or whomever it might be, if God uses them to bring forth a prophetic word, or if someone declares themselves to be a prophet, it is not only our privilege, it is our duty and responsibility to test them and to test what they're saying. And so kind of as a subtext this morning, let's read 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, because it gives us insight or shares with us the command to do what we just talked about in testing those who are being used by God to declare God's word. Dear friends, verse 1, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Right along with that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, and Simon, my apologies, I added extra slides to the presentation, and they're not all in order. So if the scripture I'm sharing isn't up there, don't blame Simon, blame me. You don't have to turn around and give him, you know, the evil eye. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 20, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. So we're commanded to test them, and the magnitude or the intensity that we are to test the message of those who declare themselves to be prophet and the life, not just the message, but the life, to whom much is given, much is required, is according to the Word of God, intense. Another word that we could use to describe this word or to translate this word test is the word scrutinize. How many enjoy being scrutinized by someone? How many parents, especially parents of girls, you know, scrutinize the young man that was, you know, courting your daughter? And if we had time, I would ask how you actually did the scrutiny. You know, what hoops you put them through to allow them to date your daughter. You know, not all parents are like that, but a lot are. We're called to scrutinize. When someone gets up and says, "Thus saith the Lord," the Bible tells us, well, just because they say, "Thus saith the Lord," or they declare themselves a prophet, we just don't take it for granted that what they are saying is good or even that they are good. They must be tested, and they must be tested intensely. The Bible tells us that they need to go through a series of stringent tests to see if they're truly good. And a good example of this is, and I don't need a show of hands this morning, but how many of you have ever, you know, pawned gold or silver? You just go in there with, you know, I was going to say cheap Kohl's jewelry. Nothing against Kohl's, but those of you who are familiar, I worked there for a number of years. You know, costume jewelry that looks kind of gold, and say, "Oh yeah, yeah, here's $500. You got a half an ounce of gold here." They don't take. One time we actually were doing a fundraiser for Convoy of Hope, and someone wanted to give to Convoy, but they didn't have any money. So they donated their jewelry. And so when we were having our yard sale, I went down, it was for Convoy, I went down the street, there was a gold and silver place next to, I think, where Little Caesars is. And, you know, I went in, a nice gentleman there, and I said, I have this jewelry, I don't know, you know, if it's worth anything, but somebody donated it, you know, and he was really good. In fact, his church down in Groton does a huge yard sale, and they make like, I forget. I think he said like 25 or 30,000 a year. I guess it's a really, really big yard sale, and it all goes to the needy. And so he went. He shaved a little bit off and did a series of tests to determine not only whether or not it was gold, but what kind of gold it was. You know, if it was, and none of it was 24-karat gold or pure gold, but some was 18-karat, which is not as valuable as pure gold, but still pretty valuable. And some was 10-karat gold, which is a little stronger because of things that they add into it, but not quite as valuable as 18-karat gold. And I think I got about $60 off of it. But the thing is, there was no way he was going to give me any money until he knew exactly what was in there. We talked about the importance of prophetic ministry, because that's God sharing a timely word to a person or a group of people for what they might be going through or what they might be facing or some issue that might be going on in their lives or something that they might need. A brother and sister in Christ, we should not take a word of it in until, and this responsibility is upon all of us, until we stringently test it. Now, what are the tests the Word of God calls us to do? And it's not just one. It's a number of them. The first and most obvious test is this. Does the prophet's message, does it line up with the Word of God? Reading the next verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Now, as I read that, some of you Bible scholars out there might say, "Well, Pastor Randy, what does that have to do with the Word of God?" And I've heard this said because basically they're saying, you know, basically people say when they read this scripture, as long as the person confesses Jesus, literally, that Jesus came in the flesh, we can accept them. But I submit to you today, and you can test me on this. In fact, I encourage you to test me on every message and everything I say in a message with the Word of God. I believe, yes, it says that, but it says so much more. And the more that this scripture is speaking of, as far as whether or not a prophecy is good or not good, is whether or not it lines up with the Word of God. Now, how do I know that? If you go back earlier in your Bible, and you read another portion of scripture written by the same man, John, and the Gospel of John, and I like to view 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John as kind of a, you know, just an outflow of his ministry and the revelation that God gave him regarding who God came. Listen to the way John describes the flesh of Jesus in this verse. He said, in fact, we read it earlier, the Word became what? Flesh, and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So when John says, any spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, is not just talking about the incarnation, as important as that is, or Jesus actually becoming man. He's also talking about his nature, as far as being the embodiment of the Word, or the testimony of God. The Word became flesh. So as we connect the dots of Scripture, and the best way to interpret Scripture is with Scripture. To say, I believe that Jesus came in the flesh, but then to deny the Word of God, does not agree. You can't not believe in Jesus and deny His Word. And I'm not just taking that one Scripture from John 1, 14, 17, 14. Just John 1:14 this morning. What else did Jesus... Jesus had a lot to say about his word. His word is truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. Not one jot, not one tittle will depart from the law. And on it goes regarding the word of God. So it's not just a matter of an individual saying that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. A lot of people can say that. I can tell you there are a lot of people who believe that, but who are no more saved than this pulpit. And we've talked about what I mean by that in prior messages, and I might touch upon it, but I don't want to get off the subject today. So, does their message line up with the Word of God? Which means whenever there's a prophecy or a message, and a lot of times with a prophet comes, a prophet... There's teaching. There's a lot of people who call themselves prophets, and they not only share messages from God, they write books and have teachings and different things. We just can't take it at face value. We need to investigate in what they say. Is it scriptural? Does it not only line up with the Word of God, but does it have... And this is not a bad word that the church should run away from. Others have, and I think for nefarious reasons. Are they not only sharing the Word of God, but do they have good theology? And what I mean by that is this. The Bible says, I believe in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and forgive me for not having the reference or the scripture for you, but it's a very common scripture. This is the King James rendering. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or as the New International Version, correctly handling the word of God. What did Satan use in the wilderness to try to get Jesus Christ to fall into sin? He used the word of God. So it's not just a matter, is someone sharing the word? Are they sharing it correctly? So number one, we need to investigate and to see if it's scriptural, not just that it's a scripture and some prophecies are actually people sharing scriptures along with other things, but is it sound theologically, which puts upon the church, it puts upon, pastors and teachers of the church this great responsibility, evangelists, whomever whoever's in a teaching authority, but puts upon every one of us Because especially in this day and age, prophets and prophecies and the teachings that come with them are a dime a dozen. They're on cable television, they are on the internet. Be careful not to fall asleep with the TV on. You might subliminally hear a false prophecy, you know, late at night. And so we've got, you know, it's part of putting on the armor. It's war. And we need to know what is good and what is wrong. We need to know the Word of God so that we are not harmed spiritually in any way by any type of false prophecy that contains with it some false teaching that takes us away from Jesus. And let me tell you, especially in this day and age, now when I say this, I've always been a good reader, but I do have empathy for people who are not strong readers. I understand that and I get that. And I think, you know, that's one of the bad things as far as some of the things that the church has gotten away from, the public reading of Scripture. Scripture wasn't just meant for people to read. It was also, you know, to read themselves. But God knows there are people, you know, have greater or lesser ability as far as being able to read and whatnot. It's also the importance of the public reading of Scripture. There's literally no excuse for us to not be regularly in the Word of God. And not just coming out on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night for Bible study, but every day, just like we eat food every day, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, every day getting into the Word of God. And if you have trouble reading, I understand that. Now more than ever, I think we still have the Bible on tape. I doubt you'll be able to find anything to play it on. There's Bible on CD. There's the Bible app where you can Bible Gateway. You can listen to it. You can have, in fact, you want to bless someone? We should never heap shame on anyone for any shortcoming that they might have. You know, someone's not a strong reader. One of the best things you can do for them, in addition to praying for them, is spending time to read the Word of God to them. If they're sick, sharing Scripture. You know, listening, you know, in fact, that's very important. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And meditating on the Word of God. It gives us what we need so that when something foul comes our way, we can smell it and reject it as something that's very, very dangerous. Second, it's important that we exercise the gift of discernment or discerning of spirits. And, you know, the Bible, and I thank God for not only my Pentecostal heritage, but the fact that, you know, we worship God in the Spirit, and so we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one of the, and I think it's a very important gift, they're all important, but a very important gift, especially as it relates to prophecy, is the gift of discernment or distinguishing of spirits. And we mentioned before, there's three spirits under which a prophet can operate. Number one, the one that you want, the Holy Spirit of God. You know, if any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. If anyone minister, let him do so with the ability that God gives. The Holy Spirit moves on them to share a message. But some people who aren't prophets, and even sometimes people who are, can minister a prophetic word under their own spirit. Maybe they just get caught up in the moment and just want to share something, and there's nothing wrong with that per se. But don't put a thus saith the Lord on it unless it's from the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, whenever there's a human element involved, it increases the likelihood of error kind of coming in. But also, as we read in our second text this morning, Satan looks to anoint or empower people to prophesy falsely. And one of the ways that we can detect that, and again, that's why there's a number, isn't that great? A number of safeguards that God has given us to determine whether or not a prophecy or a prophet is good or bad. That being the distinguishing or discernment of spirits. Now, when we think of the gifts of the Spirit, oftentimes we think of something that happens when we're all together in a church type of setting. Listen, as far as the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they can happen anytime with anyone. It's not just a certain class of believer who gets them. You know, in fact, isn't it great when someone you least expect it from, they get up and share a word of prophecy or tongues and interpretation? Reminds us, you know, lets us know that, hey, this is really God and not just someone really smart saying something. And a lot of times, the ministry of discernment happens and we don't even realize it. Now, we don't have a lot as far as how this, how the gift of discernment kind of manifests or what exactly happens, other than what happened in the life of the Apostle Paul when he was in Ephesus. We read about an occasion in Acts chapter 16. He went to Ephesus and he's preaching, and there was a woman who had kind of a prophetic, you know, she was a fortune teller type of thing. And the Bible says that she had a spirit of divination, one of these copycat spirits, copying God. And not only was she, you know, doing fortune telling and doing that type of thing, she was following Paul and Silas around. And the thing is, what she was saying is good. Let me tell you, the Word of God, the Word of God is just one test, and sometimes false prophets can pass that test because what they share, or at least part of what they share, is true. And she's going, and what she was saying, even though she had an evil spirit, a spirit of divination, or a python spirit, literally, what she was doing, she said, these men are servants of the Most High God that show us the way of salvation. You cannot say anything against what she was saying. And then finally, Paul had enough of it. Whether he knew her, and I don't think it was so much he knew her, what her life was, maybe he did or didn't, but it was the ministry of discernment or distinguishing of spirits that was in his soul. Verse 18, Acts 16, she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed or became grieved in his spirit. The word grieved or annoyed can also be pain or distress. It's not fear. It's just some type of uncomfortableness, unsettledness. He became so annoyed or so grieved or unsettled in his spirit that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. And there are people who, you know, exercise in that gift, and it's important as a pastor that we cultivate that gift in our lives. Again, it's not something that we can do on our own. It's only as the Holy Spirit moves. But I dare say it happens all the time to people who genuinely want to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And how I mean that is this. I remember, I'll share an example with you. And a lot of times, you know, I want to hear from someone other than myself. In fact, one of the things I hate doing is listening to my own podcast. Sometimes I do, you know, for practical reasons, see how many times I say or, you know, that type of thing. But sometimes I do just to refresh myself in a series, you know, where I've been and whatnot. But I'll just go on, and YouTube's a great source for godly things and a great source for bad things too. And there was a topic I found very interesting. I listened and I agreed with this, what this person was saying, and I would listen to them time to time. I wasn't a follower or anything, but I kind of check out. But there was something about what they were saying. It just never really sat right. I always felt funny about it. It's like there's something there. I don't know what it is. In fact, that nagging feeling actually made me, I'm not encouraging you to do it. That nagging feeling actually made me want to listen to them more because I wanted to find out why. Why am I bothered by this? You know, and turns out they were saying a lot of good things, a lot of right things. But they had within in their teaching a very dangerous and devastating message as it relates to the gospel, as it relates to having faith in Christ alone for the salvation of your sins. And, you know, finally came up. But even before I heard anything bad, I just knew there wasn't something right. You might be listening to someone or someone, you know, gives you a CD or you know, a tape or a book or something, you start, and it's just like, I don't know what it is. It's okay, but there's just something about this. That's the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, if you feel that, and again, it's not fear, it's not being, I'm not saying a harsh, critical spirit. That's not. You just feel, you know, there's just something not right about this. I dare say more often than not, it's the Holy Spirit telling you, put it down, don't listen to it. Let me tell you, if you listen to a lie, I think Hitler said this, if you listen to a lie long enough, or I think he said, if you say it long enough and loud enough, people will start to believe it. If you keep exposing yourself to things that are untrue, you'll eventually believe it. In fact, let me go a step further. There, a lot of people have, you know, you got to listen to this, you got to read this book. And I look at that, it's not that I don't like to read, I enjoy reading, you know, certain kinds of books, comic books, no, I'm just kidding. I don't read comic books. And, you know, it's like, I would almost rather drink glass than read this book. And I don't know what it is. What I think it is, it's just the Holy Spirit saying you don't need to read it. And I'm not saying, you know, we do book studies, and I recommend books. I'm not saying all books are bad or people are bad in sharing those books, but there are some books, they come your way, and you're looking at it, and you just want to burn the thing. More likely than not, it's the Holy Spirit saying, listen, you don't even need to be reading that thing. Get it out. Listen, you know, a lot of good books, but as long as you got this book, there's no book worth, especially a bad book, open up your heart to if it's not from the Lord. Thirdly, seek out the wisdom of others. You know what I love about our text, Acts chapter 2, and I will be wrapping up. I know I got 5 more minutes. No, I know I got a little more time. I got to put my time in because Jim's not here. He's our treasurer. He pays me by the hour. No, I'm just kidding. I do. These are very important things. What I love about Acts chapter 2 is that it says that at the end time, there'll be many prophets. Your sons and your, not just one, not like a John the Baptist. There'll be many, and there's a reason for that. Because according to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, in the multitude of counselors, good words are established. When there are many prophets, it just adds another layer of protection to those who are hearing. Because the scriptural way of dealing with prophecy is to have, when someone declares himself a prophet, or shares a prophetic word, is to have others with similar giftings judged to see whether or not that word is good. 1 Corinthians 14:29, 2 or 3 prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And let me share with you just 3 red flags. Number one, again, and these are red flags to search someone out. Someone you know is grounded in the Word of God, who walks, you know, with the Lord, has a strong spiritual relationship. And I'm just saying, you know, myself, I strive to do that, obviously. I shouldn't be here if I didn't. 3 red flags. Number one, false messengers of false teachers. And I refer to this, you know, nothing wrong with wanting to share a good book or a good teaching. But there's some people who are like, you know, thrusting books or CDs in your face. You have to listen to this. And the one thing that kind of makes me, that puts up a red flag in my mind is their focus on the fact you need to hear this teaching or this person. The attention is being drawn to the speaker as opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, right along with that, an immediate red flag is someone who has a new revelation, something that's outside of the mainstream. I'm not talking about mainstream or word escapes me now. Mainline. I'm not talking about mainline Christianity because many of those have departed from the faith, but from fundamental Bible beliefs as far as who Jesus is, the work of salvation, the work of the Holy Spirit, the Apostles' Creed, for lack of a better term. Be very, very careful of them. And I find one of the things that's very, very dangerous and something that's becoming more prevalent in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today is hero worship. In fact, I got a message that I'll be sharing either before or after Christmas about it. Where people are promoting the message of a man or a woman and not Christ. Be very, very careful of that. Be very, very careful of confusing messages. Just like salesmen are trained to get people confused so they end up buying something they don't need at a price they can't afford. People who are false teachers twist and turn the Word of God. And again, this is, I'm confused. Can you help me? A third party, can you help me with this? And this is one thing I hate the most. And if anyone ever does this in a sermon or teaching, your part just leave. Don't even stay. But I've heard this done, and it's actually satanic, where someone will start teaching something unorthodox. I'm not saying it might not be, it might be okay, and they might be right. But this person began sharing something, and this particular person that I'm speaking of, I have a lot of problems, and I would never encourage anyone to receive anything that they have to share because the failure on multiple points. But most speakers aren't buried in their notes while they're sharing. We look at the faces, and we can tell kind of when people are getting in or not. And I've heard more often than not, because I knew this individual was coming to the area and I wanted to know about them, and they would share something that was questionable or unorthodox, and he would notice that people would begin to scowl or not receive. And instead of encouraging them, look it up, study for yourself, which is what, not just what we should, that's what God's Word tells us to do. He began to bully them and accuse them, accuse those who would question what he was teaching as having an unclean spirit. Oh, there are Pharisees out there. Oh, religious spirits. And when they say religious, you know what they're saying? You have a demon spirit within you. That's what the Pharisees did to Jesus. And Jesus responded, "You are of your father the devil." He was a liar from the beginning. Anytime anyone does that, block your ears. Get up and run as far away from that building as possible. Shut off the podcast. Delete it from your device, whatever device you're listening from. So that person is not of God because they're trying to bully you into accepting what they have to say instead of encouraging you to seek it out. If any teacher, if what they're sharing is true, they should welcome skepticism and investigation. Lastly, and Henry, if you'd like to, you can come. Fourthly, it's important that we examine the life and the character of the messenger. This comes from Christ himself. And the funny thing about this verse, this is from Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 1 says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." But then Jesus, and that is true, and he's talking about people's salvation. We shouldn't judge whether a person is born again or not. Especially if someone's a teacher, we need to judge them stringently. Matthew 7, 15, and 16, "Watch out for false apostles. They'll come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" Now, no one's perfect, but if someone is saying, "I'm a prophet of God," or "This is a message from God," and they live like the devil, they lie like Satan, they're immoral, greedy, drunkard, engage in hatred or gossip, full of pride and envy, their deeds, their speech, as well as their doctrine, have serious flaws. They're not worthy to call themselves prophet. Maybe God wants to use them, but they need to. And again, this talks about the high calling of those who would be prophet or pastor or evangelist or apostle or teacher, the importance of living a life worthy of our calling. And if a person's not willing to obey, again, not perfectly, we all make mistakes and whatnot, but I'm talking about serious character flaws, serious spiritual flaws. We're not living up to the calling, to God's command as far as life. How can God expect us to live up to fidelity or faithfulness to his message. If you would stand with me this morning. And let me end by saying this. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but let me revisit it again. You might be sitting out there, and I think a lot of pastors, some pastors, I won't say a lot, have come to this conclusion. With all this opportunity or error and the danger that could be associated with this, wouldn't it be just better to do without prophecy and prophets and things? We can't allow, even though, and especially as we draw closer to the end, there'll be a lot of counterfeit ministry, counterfeit prophecy, counterfeit prophets. We must not become jaded. We must not get discouraged, because the ministry of the prophet and the ministry of prophet is a good thing. It's a powerful thing. It blesses not just the one, but the many. It leads to greater places of both righteousness. You know, the Word of God is something that cleanses. And you want to see more of God, allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse you. And it's not the message today, but when I talk about cleansing, I'm not so much changing what you do, changing your heart. And the ministry of the Word of God facilitates that in your life. But also, it leads us to greater places of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And the message of the prophet and prophecy are timely words, words of encouragement or correction or revelation, beautiful words, encouraging words that we need at that moment. We need more of the prophetic. Let's not allow a few bad apples to spoil the whole bunch. In the name of Jesus, Henry, if you lead us in prayer this morning.